The message today is based on the scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says, "Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness." I couldn't have put the words in Laurent's testimony this morning, but he was basically saying, "I'm offering myself to God." In actual fact, this scripture where it says, "and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness," it actually translates to be used for righteous purposes, to be used for doing and serving, that you're willing to offer. And in fact, the word "offer" here is actually more the word to surrender your life. Offer every part of yourself, to give oneself up to a higher authority. You know, today in today's society, if I use the word surrender, it's sort of considered as a sign of weakness. We have all these Marvel action movies and we have all kinds of stories and things that go on. And, you know, surrendering is just not part of that story. It's, you got to win, no matter what. In today's society, it's you either win or you lose. I have a gentleman by the name of Ron Dennis. He runs the, or used to run, manage the Formula One racing team for McLaren. He was the general director over in England. I had the pleasure of meeting him once. And anyway, you know, racing Formula One cars, you want to win. And he had an expression. He says, "If you come in second, you're the first of the losers." You know? And that's what our society looks at. It's either win at any costs. Win at any costs. Succeed or fail. Overcome or submit. Conquer or yield. Surrender is not a word that people like to hear. But surrendering, when we surrender to God, that is our heart. It's our heart of worshiping God in our surrendering to Him. Total, complete surrender. It should be a natural response to His love and His mercy. You see, when Paul in this scripture, he says, I want to remind, he's reminding us that you've been brought from death to life. You've been brought, you've been given this gracious gift. So therefore, by being given this gracious gift, you are to offer yourself as a tool of righteousness. Offer yourself as a tool of righteousness. Surrender. There was an article written by a very interesting pastor. His name is Adrian Rogers. He was from 1931 to he passed away in 2005. And he writes here. He tells the story of meeting with a gentleman by the name of Joseph Tyson, who had suffered greatly under communism. And Adrian said, "Joseph, tell me about American Christianity." And Joseph responded, "Adrian, I'd rather not." And so he says, "Well, no, I want to know." He says, "Well, Adrian, since you've asked me, I'm going to tell you. You see, the key word in American Christianity is commitment." "That's good, isn't it, Joseph?" he says. And Joseph replied, "No, it's not. It's not. As a matter of fact, the word commitment did not come into great usage in the English language until the 1960s. He says, "In Romania, we don't..." Joseph was Romanian. "In Romania, we do not even have a word to translate the English word commitment. When a new word comes into usage, it generally pushes out an old word. And I began to study and I found that the old word commitment replaced, that old word is no longer in vogue in America. It's the word surrender. And Adrian asked, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between commitment and surrender? And he says, when you make a commitment, you're still in control. No matter how noble the thing you commit to, one can commit to pray every day. You can commit to studying your Bible every day. You can commit to making donations and volunteering and giving every day. Whatever that person chooses to do, he commits to do. But surrender is different. If someone holds a gun at you and asks to lift your hands as proof of surrender, you don't tell that person what you're committed to. You simply surrender and you do as you're told. Americans love commitment because they are still in control. But the key word is to offer yourself completely, to surrender. We are to surrender completely, totally, not as we under our control, but we are to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I've talked about the difference between accepting Christ and receiving Christ. And in that same vein, we should not commit our lives to Christ, but surrender our lives to Christ. There's a difference. You know, it's very easy to say, well, what's my motivation to surrender to Christ? My motivation, is it to be delivered from sin? Is it to be made holy? Is it to gain heaven? Or is my surrendering to Christ to serve and obey? What's more important? You see, the heart of worship, the heart of worshiping Christ, the heart of worshiping God is total surrender. It is putting Jesus Christ first. It's putting him first in all things. You know, have you ever had a call to surrender? Do you feel you've been called to surrender? In the Bible, there's some pretty good examples of people who have been called to surrender, and their reaction is pretty interesting. In Luke chapter 9, verses 61 to 62, it says, Christ is preaching and he's asking people to follow him. And another said, I'll follow you, Lord. But hang on a second. First, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replies, no one who puts a hand to the plow, looks back, is fit for service in the kingdom. He's saying, when you say you are committing your life to Christ, you are not just following, you are surrendering. I'm guilty. It's hard to surrender 100% of the time. How many times have you got yourself in a challenging situation and you think, okay, I'm going to give this to God, but plan B is I can do this, 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 and this to solve the problem. You see, there should be no plan B when you surrender. No plan B. You see, we were called to live for Christ. That's what our calling is all about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for Christ's love, the love that he gives us, compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And that he died for all. Why? That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's who we are to live for if we surrender to Christ. The interesting part is, I don't know if anybody here has read the book Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. And in one of the chapters, he writes, everyone eventually surrenders to something or someone. If not to God, you will surrender to the opinions or expectations of other people. Or you'll surrender to money, or to resentment, or to fear, or to pride, or to lusts, or to your ego. But you see, you were designed to worship God, and if you fail to worship Him, you will create other things to give your life to. You are free to choose what you surrender to, but you are not free from the consequences of the choice. You're not free from the consequences of the choice. See, we will never be over those things. God is above us. So we will never be over those things that God has set under us until we learn that under those things that God has placed under us, in our surrendering to Him, He manages us as He is the sovereign Lord. See, surrendering is the heart of worship. In Romans 12, verse 1, therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Offer, surrender, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Interesting. Peter read Charles Stanley's, I don't know if that was a devotional or article, on prayer and what prayer meant and the benefits of prayer. Prayer, of course, is part of worship. But we sort of tend to sometimes pray in a way that is, well, you know, God, you got to come to me and help me out. All right? There's a great message by a guy by the name of Stanley Jones about prayer. He says, prayer is surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If you throw out a boat hook from a boat, and you catch hold of the shore and pull. Do I pull the shore to me? Or do I pull myself to the shore? You see, prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Throw the boat hook to be pulled by the will of God, not to pull God's will. In Oswald Chambers, he writes a thing, I've got it written on my desk, about surrender. He says, something that you can make a commitment to. Have I surrendered this new day to God? And will I seek and obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit throughout its hours? Good question to ask. And then he says, wait until with the full consent of your will, you can definitely say, I have and I will. I have surrendered this day to God. I have and I will. But there are things that block surrender. Fear, pride, confusion. I'll be the first to admit, Marie knows, I'm an anxious person. I get anxiety. I'm not totally surrendered. This morning, driving to here, it's raining. And it's about to come into Mansonville. It's not raining. It's a deluge. And I'm saying, I didn't surrender to God. I was worried. We want to do these baptisms. But that's what happens, right? But then, okay, a little prayer. God, I'm surrendering this service to you. Nice. It clears up. It's how do we know if we've completely surrendered to Christ? When we totally rely on Him, no questions asked. And I think, okay, this is going to be interesting. Let's see how God unfolds this one. Okay? And that's the way we can approach any time we are confronted and we need to surrender. We don't want to let the anxiety take over. We want to, as it says in Psalm 37, verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You see, when we understand that, in 1 Corinthians it says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received. You know, we've received that gift of the Holy Spirit. And then it says right after it, you're not your own. You're not your own. Christ bought us with his blood. You see, his surrender is the perfect example. His surrender was the perfect example. Just before he was crucified, he said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. I really don't want to go through the next few hours that are going to be really horrible and painful. Take this cup from me, he asks. And then he says, yet what I will, but what you will, not what I will, but what you will. Jesus Christ surrendered 100% to his Father. He responded 100%. So, the question is, who engineers or who's engineering your life? Yourself or Jesus Christ? You know, Paul wrote a few times, he, of course, experienced many different things, but one of the things that he writes is, he says, I want to surrender. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know and understand his sufferings, and I want to become like him. I want to be able to be totally surrendered. And then in 2 Corinthians, he says, so let's make it our goal to please him, to be totally in surrender to him, to get to know Christ. Why? Because Christ loved us first. Christ loved us first. That's why we respond to him and to his love. See, God's love is infinite. It never ends. God is love. We had a very good Bible study in the Manoir about love and what love is. But his love, when we totally are surrendered to him, we're never out of his sight. He never forsakes us. He cares about every detail in our life, as it says in 1 Peter. He gives us the ability to enjoy pleasures in life. He plans and has plans for each and every one of us if we ask according to his will. He forgives. Not only forgives, he forgets the things that we have done, which is even better. He is patient. And as we surrender, he will continue to work through us. See, this is the benefit. It's not a benefit. It's a truth. When we've totally surrendered to God, and there are times that you will be confronted, as many of us have, when your total surrender is not really a question, you are faced and confronted with a situation where you realize your total surrender is all that can be done. And when you do that, and when we surrender, even when times are good, then we know that we can cast our burdens on him. We can ask him to lead us. We can ask for his will. We can ask him and say, just give our past regrets to him. We can lay before him our present problems. We can share with him our future ambitions. We can share our fears. The whole book of Psalms, or not all of Psalms, is David sharing his fear and sharing his dreams and revealing his weaknesses. And we can do all of that if we've totally surrendered. And he hears us. We can share our hurts and we can share our fears. And why? Because when we surrender, you can do all this through him who gives us strength. It is the strength of God that allows us to surrender and then give him our burdens, give him our fears, give him our hurts, our dreams, our ambitions. Help him, or ask him to show you and lead you for his plan for you. And as we surrender and offer ourselves, we are to do the same to help others. You see, we've been given a gift to serve. And that is part of the heart of worship. I'll go to Luke chapter 4, verse 8. You see, Jesus was being tempted by Satan at this time. Satan wanted Jesus Christ to worship him in exchange for giving him everything. And Jesus said, no. I've actually surrendered to God the Father. It's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Surrender is part of worship, and worship is part of surrender. So what do we do? What should we surrender to? We should surrender to God's grace. We should surrender to God's love. We should surrender to God's wisdom. Because surrender is the greatest form of worship. It's not the best way of life. It's the only way of life. In Jesus' name, Father, we come before you and we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this privilege of coming together, witnessing the baptism of Blair and Linda and Genevieve and Laurent. We thank you that we're able to hear the testimony of these people, to hear that they have made a commitment, and we pray that not just for them, but for all of us, that you give us this heart of worship, this heart to surrender, to put it all in your hands, that we have no plan B, but that we put in front of you our anxieties, our worries, our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions. We remember to praise you and thank you for the joy and abundance that we enjoy. But above all, we surrender our lives to you. And we do it all in the name and by the authority of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.